Amen. Now, don't worry, folks, because I knew this would be a long service, and so I have kept my sermon to a tight 45 minutes. We're good to go. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, take all of my words and make them yours. Take all of our thoughts and make them yours. And take our hearts and set them on fire for you. Father, we love you. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this story at the end of John, what happens right before that is that Peter decides he's going to go fishing. And all the disciples go with him. And what that means, really, is that Peter is returning to the life he knew before Jesus. And that's what he did before Jesus came. He was a fisherman. And amazingly, even though he's now seen the risen Jesus more than once, he still thinks his only option is to go back to what he did before. You have to imagine that he's assuming that since he denied Jesus publicly 3 times, since he abandoned Jesus at the darkest moment of his life, his hour of greatest need, that Peter is sure he's got no future with Jesus. I mean, he's just been proven dead wrong about everything, right? If you abandon the guy and then he comes back from the dead, you assume he'll be a little ticked off at you. So he's fishing, and they see Jesus on the shore, and he invites them to come and have breakfast. And you got to wonder what's going through Peter's mind in the midst of all of that, right? I mean, this is not the first time he's seen him, but Jesus has never really talked to Peter directly. He's talked to the other disciples, right? He's had his moment with Thomas where he says, you can come and put your hands in the holes if you want. He's talked to the two on the road to Emmaus, but he's not had a conversation with Peter until this moment. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all the rest? Now here's the best part, because like we know Peter is kind of a tool, right? When he's overconfident and he's brash, right? I mean, this is the one who said, Lord, no matter what happens, I'll never leave your side, like the day before he leaves his side. I mean, he's the one who whips out the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane and hacks off a guy's ear. He just does all sorts of rash, dumb things from time to time. He's an overconfident person. He just has no filter. He is just a delight to read about. I would imagine if Jesus had asked him a few weeks before this, Peter, do you love me more than all the other disciples love me? His answer would be, of course I love you more than them. I'm so much better than them, Lord. He'd have a long, drawn-out answer about how much he is deeply devoted. His answer here, though, is just so short and simple. He tells the truth, but for the first time, his answer has some humility in it. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. It's like he's finally learned his lesson. I mean, we know from other stories he doesn't really learn it all that well, but in this moment, he's humbled a little bit. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. What he's telling him is your job, if you love me, your job is now to give spiritual support, spiritual nourishment to new believers, ones who don't yet know who I am. You're going to come alongside them, and you're going to help them. Because you, Peter, know what it's like to be learning all of this the first time. And you're going to help them do the same thing. And then he asks him again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Care for all of the believers, whether they are new believers or not. Because you, Peter, of all people, know how difficult it is to follow me. You, of all people, know that it carries a grave threat to your life at times. And you, of all people, know what it's like to need someone to come alongside you and provide the kind of care that gets you through those difficult times. asked him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter's offended, which is really funny, you know, that Peter is offended at being asked to affirm his love for the guy he just publicly denied. But, you know, yes, Lord, you know everything. Of course you know I must love you. Feed my sheep. Right? All the same support, all the same teaching, the same spiritual guidance and nourishment you give to the new believers, you're going to give to the entire church. There's no one beyond the scope of your ministry now. This is one of my favorite moments in the gospel because for each denial of Jesus, Peter gets an opportunity to reaffirm his love for Jesus. But he's also commissioned for a specific ministry for each time he denied Jesus. This isn't just Jesus patching up the holes in the relationship. This is Jesus making sure that Peter is now ready to go and do the ministries that Jesus is calling him to do. That's why for each reaffirmation of his love, he gets a commission to ministry. And we know that Peter's ministry becomes incredible. He starts out in Jerusalem. He becomes one of the leading figures in the Jerusalem church. Tradition has it he ends up in Rome, leading the church in Rome right under the nose of the Roman emperor. This is why the Catholics consider him the first pope. Now, he probably wouldn't have called himself that, but in any case, he's clearly one of the most influential figures of the early church. He has an incredible ministry, and he is one day martyred for the faith. Which, by the way, means that he does, in the end, stand by Jesus to the death. Even though he couldn't do it in the garden, he's given the chance to do it again, and he's faithful that time. Sometimes I think we don't quite grasp what we mean when we talk about redemption. But this is redemption. Can you put the picture up? You guys have probably seen this on social media before, but you know it's a method of preparing broken pottery by using gold or silver or other precious metals. Normally when we want to fix like a cup or a mug that's broken, we're going to get like super glue, right? And you want to put it back together, and the goal is to get it fixed so well that you don't know it was ever broken in the first place. And I think that's often what we would like God to do with us. To take the broken places in our lives, the places where we've failed, the places where we've fallen short, where we know our flaws have caused problems, and just like cover over them, put us back together so thoroughly and so perfectly that you can't see where the scars are. But do you notice that in Jesus' resurrected body, the wounds from the cross are still there? They're not gone. In Jesus, our scars become our glory. Because this is redemption. Jesus doesn't put the broken pieces of you back together so thoroughly that no one can see the scars. What he does is he fills them in himself. The places where we are broken are the places where Jesus shines. The places where we need to be held together are precisely the spots where Jesus is going to stay. And you see that theme repeated all throughout the New Testament, right? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Lord knows Peter's got some weaknesses. And they've been on full display for a long time by the point you get to the end of the gospel. And here is Jesus saying, it's okay. It's okay that you have denied me in the past. It's okay that you have been overconfident and brash and way too bold and too impulsive, because in the end, that gives me the chance to shine through you. Everyone has their broken places in their life. Everyone has not just flaws, but deep places where we've been shattered. Whether it's things inflicted on us by other people, self-inflicted wounds, or just the cumulative effect of our own sin weighing down on us, everyone has these places where we have fallen apart. Jesus comes into those spots precisely. That's where he meets us. That's where his greatness shines the brightest. But this isn't just a matter of him putting us back together so we can feel better about ourselves. In Christ, we are put back together. We are redeemed in such a way that we can be sent forth to do his work in the world. There is no way Peter would ever have been able to do the things he ended up doing if he hadn't had this little beachside conversation with Jesus. I mean, that seems pretty clear. He's already back on the fishing boat. He's already given up on the idea of ministry. His whole plan is, well, I left Jesus. I'm going to go back to Galilee, get in the boat, and fish for the rest of my life because I'm not worthy to do anything else. And Jesus says, no. It's precisely because you're not worthy that I'm going to use you. It is precisely because people know that you're the one who denied me 3 times that I'm going to send you out. It's precisely because you're the one who tried to walk on water and failed and share breakfast with you and walk along the beach with you even after you've denied me 3 times. Peter now knows the depth and the faithfulness of the love of Christ better than any of us, I would guess. Because he's lived it firsthand. He knows what it's like to walk away from Jesus, to abandon him completely, to assume that Jesus is actually completely and thoroughly done with you forever, only to meet him on the beach and have a breakfast together. To give him the chance to come back and remind you that you do, in fact, love him. This is redemption. In Christ, our wounds become our glory. Not because they go away, not because he gets rid of the scars, but because those are the places he comes in and fills in the cracks and holds the broken pieces together, and his glory shines through. Everyone's got brokenness. Everyone has places where you've fallen apart. Everyone has places where your own strength will never get you through. Those are the places that Jesus wants to meet you. Those are the places Jesus wants to come and hold your broken pieces together, because he's got something for you to do. He had a job for Peter. He had a job for all the other disciples. He has a job for you too. We are not redeemed just to be redeemed. We are redeemed so we can go and do the work of the kingdom out in the world. We are redeemed so we can be commissioned. Peter gets 3 of them right off the bat. For every time he denied Jesus, he gets a commission to go and care for the other people who will follow Jesus, to guide them, to support them, to nurture them. And the reason he's given those jobs specifically is that no one knows better than Peter how hard it is to make sense of all the things that Jesus says. No one knows better than Peter how hard it is to actually faithfully follow Jesus. So who better to guide new believers? Who better to care for the people in the church who are struggling? Who better to provide guidance and wisdom to this new group of people called the body of Christ? Whatever your brokenness is, however long it's been there, my bet is if you will submit that to Jesus, if you will stop trying to put yourself back together so thoroughly that no one can see the scars, if you will let him come and meet you in those broken places and fill in the cracks and hold them together, that it is precisely those broken parts of you, those weak parts of you, the flaws, the places where your own sin has shattered your life, that you will be empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit to do the work of the kingdom. All you have to do is meet with Jesus and let him show you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.